Think that we need to talk about something. I don't think we do. I know we need to talk about something. You'll understand why in just a minute. We need to talk again about elders. Elders are called shepherds, bishops, pastors, overseers. All of those terms are scriptural terms. And we need to understand that those men always are spoken of in the plural. There's never just one elder of a congregation, one bishop. It's always more than one. And most of you, if not all of you, know that we do not have elders at this time and haven't had for several years. And since that time, since we have not had elders, we've all realized the dire need for those men and the importance of having elders. In the business meeting last Sunday evening, the subject came up of considering men for elders to be appointed again. And I think that was rightly done because we do understand the importance of needing elders, and we do understand that we need them. We all need to be aware of this, every one of us, not just the men, but the ladies also. Everybody needs to understand that what's to be done and how it's to be done, because every one of us takes a part in helping to select and appoint elders. Now you say the women, what about the women? Yes, they are too. And we'll get into that just a little more in a minute. First thing, let's read the passages of scriptures that deal with that with elders that pertain to that. Turn to Acts, the 14th chapter. That's where we're going to begin. And I'm just going to take them as they come in succession in the text, in the scriptures. The first one is in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. This is where, on Paul's first journey, he had gone back up through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and it says, so they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So they went back through these cities that they had just come through, not just come through, but had come through earlier, and established congregations, had preached the gospel, baptized people, and churches, congregations had been established. So they go back through there, and they appoint elders. Now in chapter 15, which may be on the same opening or the next page, verses 2 and verse 6, and this is where Paul and Barnabas have gone to Jerusalem for the Jerusalem conference. No, I'm sorry. That's in verse 6. Verse 2 is where the conflict arises over circumcision. And some of the Jews were teaching that if you were not circumcised, you could not be saved. And in verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So they had gone; they were going to the apostles that were there in Jerusalem and the elders that were in Jerusalem. And then verse 6 is where they have gotten to Jerusalem and they're meeting with the brethren there in Jerusalem. verse 6 says, "Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter." So we've got two scriptures here that show that there were already elders in Jerusalem. And Paul and Barnabas had gone back through Asia and established or appointed elders there. Chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. And we talked about this morning in our Bible class. Paul and Silas pick up Timothy, and in verse 4, "As they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep." And these are the decrees that were established in Jerusalem at that time, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So this is another passage that show that elders had already been appointed in Jerusalem. And then turn to chapter 20 in Acts. Verse 17, this is where Paul is in Miletus, and he sends to Ephesus for the elders from Ephesus. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he started speaking to them. And he tells them that, "I've taught you everything. I've done everything that I should do. You know what I've been teaching and what I've done." And then in verse 28, he says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now this verse is full. In this verse, they are called both overseers and shepherds. And this verse says that among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers and shepherds, or overseers to shepherd the flock. The Holy Spirit knows when a man should be an elder. And when he's chosen, then he sees the Holy Spirit has made that man an overseer or an elder. All right. Ephesians 4. Fourth chapter and verse 11. And Paul is talking here about Christ. Verse 10, he says, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Pastors, the word for pastors is the same word used for overseers, shepherds. So pastors are the elders that the Lord has appointed. 1 Timothy 3 is the next one. First Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. And this is one of the passages where the qualifications, we call them, or the characteristics of elders are listed. "This is a faithful saying," verse 1. "If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." And here the word bishop is used for elder or overseer. "A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then the next passage is in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. And that's verses 17 and 18. And Paul is telling Timothy that elders should be honored. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So he's saying here that elders are not only to be honored as leaders, but they can also be honored by being paid wages if they if that's determined to be done. All right, Titus 1. First chapter of Titus. Verses 5 through 9. Paul tells Titus, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a husband must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict." So here again are some of the same qualifications, characteristics that we see a man who is to be an elder should have. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule well, who rule over you. Start over. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now the word rule there means to lead. So those who lead you or rule you are elders. That's who he's talking about there, are the elders, the bishops. And then the last one is in 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5, the first four verses. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Verse 1 there, we find out that Peter was not only an apostle, one of the 12 men that Christ himself chose, but he was also an elder. we've studied these things a number of times before. Since we're going to look at men to consider them as holding the office of elder, then we may have to study these things again. There may be some of them in the audience or some of the brethren here that have worshipped under the leadership of elders, but haven't taken a part in helping to select those men. And that's what that's one of the things that we need to understand. Let's talk now a little bit about appointing elders. The appointment of elders is not a job that's been delegated to somebody, delegated to some certain group of men. It's not the preacher's job to select these men. It's not the job of some committee that's been appointed to select men to be considered for elders. It's the responsibility of each and every member of this congregation to make his or her desire known as to who they feel should be considered as elders. Each member is, we've got to remember that each member has got to subject themselves, submit themselves, him or herself, to the oversight of each elder. If there's three elders or four elders, I can't say, well, I'm under the oversight of these two men, but I'm not under the oversight of the other two. I've got to be willing to submit myself, to subject myself to the oversight of all two or three or four or however many elders are selected, men are appointed elders. Let me give you an example of something like this. I know of a husband and wife couple. They're both faithful Christians. They worship in two different congregations. He worships at one congregation and she worships at another one about 3 miles down the road. The reason for this is that the husband says, there's one of the elders there where my wife worships that I just cannot submit myself to. For whatever reason he has, he feels that he can't submit or be subject to the oversight of that elder. His wife says, I've worshipped in this congregation almost all my life, and I just don't feel like I can leave. Now, personally, I don't like that situation. I feel like that they should both be meeting in the same place. But my point is not that. My point is that this brother, this husband, says, I don't feel like I can submit myself to that elder. There's a problem. I don't know what it is. I didn't ask him when he was telling me. But the point is that we have to be able to, or be willing to submit ourselves to all of the elders that are appointed. The men whose names are suggested as possible elders and their wives are to be scrutinized and compared to the Scriptures. Not compared to what I think, not compared to what I've heard in the past or somebody else has taught, but compared to the Scriptures, to these Scriptures that we just read, to be sure that they are the men and women that God wants in these positions. And we have to look at the wives as well as the man. The appointment of elders is not an election. It's not a popularity contest or any such thing as that. We've got to allow these Scriptures that we read to lead us and to direct us in selecting the men who meet the qualifications, who have the characteristics who have in their lives the qualities listed for men God wants to serve in this capacity. It's not what we want, it's what God wants. Our number one and most important responsibility is to make certain that we do all these things and select these men according to God's plan, not what we think. If we do all this at God's pleasure, we will glorify Him, and He will see that this church will grow in spirit and in truth. If we're obedient to Him, He'll look out for us. Men selected to serve as elders must show that these qualities have some bearing on every phase of their lives. Their physical character, their moral and spiritual character, their reputation, their habits, their domestic relations, experience, and their ability to teach and rule. And there again, rule means to lead. He won't perfectly meet all these qualities when he's appointed, when he's first appointed. But he must show by the way he lives that he is striving toward that end. In other words, elders are not perfect, just like Christians are not perfect. But Christians should strive toward becoming more perfect and correcting more of their problems. Elders should do the same thing. Consider Peter. Said a while ago that Peter was not only an apostle, but he was also an elder. While Peter was an apostle, and before he became an elder, probably, I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming that it was probably before he became an elder, Peter was impulsive. Remember some of the things Peter did? Peter was quick to speak without thinking. He was quick to act without considering what the results would be. Peter denied Christ 3 times the night that he was tried. He even the last time cursed and said, "I don't even know the man." Peter was an apostle when he did that. I'm satisfied that Peter corrected all these things to be able to serve as an elder. If he had not, he wouldn't have been selected as an elder. So, brethren, these are some of the things that we must consider when we choose men to serve as elders. As we go along in this process, we'll be studying the things that we need to, and we'll go through this process in an orderly way. It's not going to be done haphazardly. It's going to be done in an orderly way. We're not going to rush through it. We're not going to just say, okay, here's 5 or 6 names, and that's it. It's going to be done in the way that God would want us to do it. That has been done in the past here, and we expect that that'll be done this time, that way. There's no time schedule for us to keep in doing this, in submitting these men and appointing them as elders. Everyone's got to be willing to submit themselves to the leadership of these men that are chosen. We choose the men to the best of our ability, and the Holy Spirit makes them overseers if they are the correct men. Let's let the Scriptures again lead us to choose scriptural men to serve as elders here at this congregation. In the past, we've had some excellent men who served as elders. And we can do that again. But we have to do it God's way. These men all have to be qualified by the things that the Scriptures say, and they have to obey God's will. The only thing I know that we can do is to do the best we can, and if we choose the right men, then the Holy Spirit will see that they are considered elders. He will consider them, and we can too. This has not been a lesson to study the specifics of all of the qualifications of elders. I like to call the qualifications characteristics. There are some things that are not characteristics as much as physical qualifications, such as an elder has to be a man, an elder has to have a wife, and such things as that. But most of these things are characteristics, things that these men, if they don't have, can work on. They can add to their lives. They can improve in their lives. And we need to consider all these things. This has not been a lesson to tell you what you should do to be saved. We've heard enough lessons to know that the way to salvation is to repent of our sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, be baptized for our sins, and then live faithfully after we are baptized. It's not something we do, take four or five steps, and then we're Christians and that's it. It's something we work on continually. Just like men have to work on their characters continually if they expect or if they strive toward being an elder. Christians have to work on these things if they are striving to be a faithful Christian and reach heaven. So, if you have not obeyed the gospel, then we invite you to do that. And if you have obeyed the gospel, but you have turned away, you have turned away from God and you want to return, or if you have some problem that you want the brethren to pray with you and for you, then now is a good time for you to do that while we stand and sing this song of invitation.